Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Deep on the Road Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in westerly Rhode Island, this is episode 211 of the Por Favor Manténganse Alejado de las Podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in westerly Rhode Island. Mr. Klinsman, are you shoveled out?
Yes, sir, I am shoveled out.
Okay.
Barely shoveled out, but got about just a hair under a foot of snow.
Okay.
Yeah, on March 13th.
That's
lovely, isn't it?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Another storm coming on the 20th, by the way. So they're saying up to 7 inches right now.
Do you think this could be your bottom out?
It's possible. I'm getting there. That's all right. I'm in it for the long haul. I love Rhode Island. I love the seasons. I love the sleeping weather.
Yes.
I don't know. What else can I say to convince myself?
I know. You like the sleeping weather and you love the four seasons.
You know what I love in Rhode Island? I love my house and I love my family. That's the end of the list. Now, the food's good too. I don't mind the food. There's some good food.
No, the food's good. The food's very good.
But I like Disney food too, so I'm just saying, if I ended up in that area, I think I'd be okay. Blizzard, thunder, snow, 50 mile an hour winds. I'm usually well into like wearing shorts every day by this time of year, but it's not happening.
I had Jimmy Cantore and the Weather Channel on, and I feel for you guys. I do.
I know you do. But it also validates your choice.
Yes, it does.
So you feel good about yourself not having to deal with it.
It makes me look smarter and smarter.
I follow someone on Facebook who, he actually was the photographer for my wedding, and now he does real estate photography.
Mm.
So he goes into houses, and he takes really nice pictures when they're trying to sell the house, and he actually has a drone, so he takes really nice aerial pictures and stuff. But he put something up today saying that he puts a dollar bill in a jar every time he does photography for someone's house if they're moving to Florida or one of the Carolinas. And he said he needs a second jar already.
Oh, wow.
Just everyone's leaving.
Right, God, I met a couple Goombas the other day. these guys come in and I go to clean their clubs up and I see Pawtucket Country Club.
Yeah.
And I go, hey guys, how's it going? And they go, hey, how are ya?
Hey, what's going on?
I said, oh, you just answered my question. He's like, what question was that? I said, I was wondering if this was the Pawtucket Country Club in Rhode Island. I said, and you said, how are ya? And he goes, oh, that was a dead giveaway, huh? Yeah, they were both members up there. I asked them how they liked it up here or down here, and they said they love it. They come down to play golf. They said, but what are the summers like? And I said, oh, God, they're terrible. They're terrible. Stay up there. Stay up there. Don't live down here full time.
Oh, so now you're like, you want to recruit me, but you don't want to recruit everybody.
If you're gonna regurgitate the playbook and say to yourself, I can't live there full time, I'm not gonna recruit you down here.
That's fair. That's fair. I could live down there full
time, Mr. Klinsman. I want down here for selfish reasons.
Right, of course.
Your minivan is not going to add to my commute in June, July, and August.
No, that would not add to...
A couple cars here and there are not going to kill me.
No, that's true. But you don't want the whole state of Rhode Island coming down.
That is correct.
A million miserable people down there. Because the thing about Rhode Islanders, I'd say 80% of them are miserable no matter what.
Correct.
Like, they can blame different things, but you can change all those things and they're going to find something to be miserable about.
Right.
But maybe it is just the weather. It just takes a toll on them and they just bring it into themselves to just be miserable.
I think it's the weather, the taxes, the lack of jobs.
I think
as soon as you come out of your mother's womb, you are just getting beat down over your head.
That's probably true. That's not a good that's not a good way to go through life, is it?
No, it isn't.
I think Por Favor Frank might hit his low point.
Is he about ready to blow?
If he didn't have grandkids, I think he'd be down there full time right now.
he's not liking this weather, huh?
No, they had a limb come down on their cars in the storm. Yeah, you it's not good. He gave me the nod the other day on Monday before the storm. He's like, I hate this weather. Hate shoveling. Everyone hates shoveling. It's not fun, especially when it's that wet, heavy stuff.
That's awful. It's just terrible.
There was like 2 inches of slush at the bottom of the foot of snow, and it's just like you take the top layer off, and it's light as a feather, and you get down to that last thing, and the shovel weighs like 96 pounds, and you're trying to just throw it off to the side. It slides off the side of the shovel.
And you wake up the next day, you do fine, and then you wake up the next day, and your lower back and your orifice just hurts.
Oh, yeah, and the whole driveway is a sheet of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun. A lot of it melted off today, though. It got up to the 40s, so it was sunny. A lot of melting going on, but...
So you're saying Frankie may have hit his bottom, and you next week, depending on what happens, could be your bottoming out, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, if it weren't for Yergina and Yergina Jr., he'd be down there probably a half hour away from you right now.
Yeah, I know. I realize that.
And he said that to me on different occasions. Maybe not full-time, but definitely snowbird.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, from January through May or something. Because he's still kind of a rube where he wants to have Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it's fine.
So he wouldn't come down till after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as, like, he'd be, like, December 26th, he'd put on his Bermuda shorts and his Hawaiian shirt and his little fedora. He'd be like Frank Costanza, remember? When he moved to Florida.
Oh, yeah, in the Boca Royale or wherever the heck they went.
What was that called? Del Boca Vista.
Del Boca Vista. That's when Jerry's father was running. He was running for president, the Homeowners Association president.
They kept telling him there were no spots open.
That was a good episode.
They were all good episodes. Yeah, there were hardly any stinkers in Seinfeld, were there? So it's been cold down near you, too. I see people, a lot of the like Twitter people from Florida are like very cautious about posting how cold it is because it's been so miserable in the north.
Yeah, I mean, you know, today was going to be the coldest. You know, whenever you get a cold snap, it's usually like day three when it's the worst.
Yeah.
And it probably was 49 overnight last night, and... you know, again, once the sun comes up, I had the sliders open. It was 68, sunny, just sunny, bright blue skies. I mean, you can't really complain about that.
I'd kill for 68 and sunny right about now.
Yeah, I know.
Usually there's a few in the bank by now.
Yeah, really. By now, yes.
Like, there's usually a couple of those days where you put all the windows down in the car, really air it out from all the fart smell all winter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those Yankee Candle things hanging under the rear view mirror only do so much.
Oh, I know. You know, you got to have the sunroof and the windows all open.
Yeah, you need Mother Nature to really clear that thing out after a long, farty winter.
Are you saying you mess that minivan up on the way up to Warwick every day, every work day?
Not every day, but a lot of days.
You just destroy it.
Sometimes. Fortunately, there's leather seats, so they don't, like, absorb the smell as much as the cloth seats do.
Speaking of, I got to bring this up. This is good. So I have my mother-in-law in town, and Kristen, you know, was going to clean all the toilets and stuff. And the one that I use mainly, we have one in the master bedroom, but I use the one off the kids' bedroom in the main hallway during the day and throughout the night. So she cleaned that up, and she just came out. She said, "You're unbelievable." And I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "You absolutely destroyed a 2-month-old bathroom." She goes, "You know when you watch those flipping shows and they have that toilet that's just like, just it, the water's green, and they just say, you know, it's been sitting like this for 25 years and we just got to pull it out and replace it?" She said, "That's what this brand new 2-month-old toilet is like."
You've already put like 30 years of wear and tear on that.
It's like the guy who has like the 100-mile commute and he buys a new car and he's already got 100,000 miles on his car like in 3 months.
Yeah, that's like me.
Yeah.
I'm up to 50. I'm almost at 50,000 miles on that thing. It's not even 2 years old yet.
Oh my God.
But yeah, that's funny because I was thinking, excuse me. I was thinking the opposite. Like you hear about, like, you buy the used car, it's like a 23-year-old car, it's got 800 miles on it, it's like an old lady only drove it to church. That's like the exact opposite of how you treat the bathroom.
I destroy it.
Hey, you're getting your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
At least she has the wherewithal to kick you into a different bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to do that in the en suite bathroom.
No.
I do not have an unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week because I'm trying to get over a little cold here. So I'm drinking some Sam's Choice Purified Drinking Water.
Oh, very. What is that?
With flavor-enhancing minerals. It's the Walmart brand.
Oh, is it good?
It's fine. It's distributed by Walmart, Bentonville, Arkansas. 0.0% alcohol by volume. Ingredients, purified water, magnesium sulfate, potassium bicarbonate, potassium chloride, and minerals added for taste.
So oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. It's very lovely. And you're drinking the same thing, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. 0.0%
0.0%, mostly water. On that note, you want to take us to break, Billy?
Yeah, we can take a break. This is episode 211 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro Davis podcast, and we just both kind of saw either today or the day before about a new policy that Disney's going to institute.
Rolling out. Yeah.
And it is, they're going to start charging for parking at their resorts.
Yeah, overnight parking.
Overnight parking.
Which is strange to me. I don't know. If anything, I thought they were going to do just the opposite of what they did. I guess we could get into it a little bit before we start getting into our opinion. So, basically, any reservation made after the 21st, so a week from, a couple days after you hear this, so March 21st, any car will have a fee per night, overnight parking fee, if you have a car with you for your stay. I believe it's $13 per night at the values, what was it, 20 at the moderates and like 26 at the deluxes?
Sounds right.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm just trying to go off the top of my head. So you actually have to pay more. So you're paying $500 a night to stay at the Grand Floridian, and then they whack you twice as much as someone at All-Star Music has to pay to park their car, which seems kind of strange, but so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only for overnight parking, and they made sure to note that day guests for shopping, dining, and other recreation at the resorts would still be free. Okay. Also, DVC members using their points for a stay get free parking.
Okay.
At the resort. So, just because you're a DVC member and you book a couple nights at Pop Century, I don't think you get free parking. I think only on a stay using your points do you get the free parking.
Okay.
As far as I understand. I guess we'll see how it goes once it gets implemented, but the new news. And
I do have the pricing. It's the values are 13.
Okay.
Moderates are 19, and the deluxes and deluxe villa resorts are 24.
24. Okay. So that's pretty close. But either way, it's a lot of money. I mean, that adds up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're staying for 6-7 nights, that's a dinner, $140. If you're staying at a moderate for 7 nights, extra $19, so that's what, $133, $132.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not chump change. It's not going to make or break your vacation necessarily, but it's kind of like a kick in the teeth, I feel like. Because you're already paying a premium to stay at a Disney hotel.
Correct.
Because you're getting a lot less room than what you pay for, but you make up for it in some of the extra benefits. The theming, you know, being on Disney property, some of the other perks. But one of the perks was free parking, and that perk has just been taken away, and now you got to pay for that. So essentially, I mean, if you think about it, if you're paying $120 to stay at Pop Century, and now you got to pay $13 to park, your price to stay there just went up 10% per night. So that's real money there. And yeah, at the Grand Floridian, I guess Pete, you could say, well, if you're staying at a deluxe, you can afford it. But that's not really the point. They're already getting a ton of money out of you. And I feel like the parking has been included, and it should continue to be. I know that they're basically the only resort that doesn't charge for parking in the area, but that was a perk that they had, and they just kind of, I don't know. It seems like a cheap way to make extra money. Like, they could have done it a different way, I feel like. But I don't know. I want to hear what you think about it.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the values, I almost consider this a tax on the poor. And I'm not saying that everybody who stays at a value is poor, but a lot of them are penny pinchers, and that's a big expense.
That is.
I think even $13 is a big expense.
Yeah, per day. I said, that's at least 10%, if not more. If you get a good deal on the room and you're there for like $97, that's like up to 15% per night added up onto your bill. It's going to make people consider off-property, I think.
Now, here's the thing, too, because I think, you know, a lot of locals who are driving, we don't necessarily stay at values, because if we're only going to go up for a night or two once or twice a year, we want to spend a couple extra bucks and get some different amenities with some better restaurants. But
and a lot of times locals are sniffing out the deals, too. Like, you're not set to go that 1 week.
No, I'm going to I go to the Polynesian when I can get it at a moderate rate. I mean, I would never stay at the Polynesian unless I was able to find that rate.
Right.
And we were able to just say, hey, we're going to go up in 2 weeks.
That's right.
And I really don't want to spend $24 a night parking.
But what are your other options as a local?
You don't really have any.
No, go park at that gas station and take an Uber from the gas station to the Poly to check in. Like, I don't understand that. It just seems like a cash grab.
Yeah, but here's what I will say, because the Swan and Dolphin do charge nightly parking.
That's right.
And what they do is they lower their rack rate. And I think what Disney is trying to do is just fall in line with their competitors.
But they're not going to lower their rack rate.
But they might be able to keep it the same. Bottom line is a Pop Century is going to net you $130 a night.
Yeah.
So if you're charging $117 plus $13 for parking, you're still getting that $130.
That's true.
You know, because everybody's always said, why does Swan and Dolphin do this? And they say they want to try to keep the rack rates in line to make it look, when you book on hotels.com or Expedia or something else, that you're getting this hotel for this. And then they throw in the hidden taxes and the
Resort fees.
Like, whenever we get a good deal on the Swan and Dolphin, Kristen's like, don't forget, we're paying $18 a day to park. We got this. It's coming out to about $180.
Yeah, because it's about $40 more for Swan and Dolphin after the fees and taxes, what they show on
Expedia.
Correct,
yeah, or right, exactly.
That's a lot of money. And now, basically, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you're paying an extra $24, an extra $19, whatever it is, to park. You know, when we're going in June, we're renting a car. It's my first time I'm going to have a car on property, or first time renting a car, because we drove down that one time. But, you know, that would actually change my decision. But, we're going to visit you.
Right.
But if we got charged $19 a day to park for the rest of the trip, that's an extra $100 that maybe I would think about turning in the rental car and just taking the Magical Express instead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're going to visit you, so we need the rental car. And, of course, I finally rebooked the rental car, like, yesterday, and then they make this announcement. But I think I'm okay because my reservation was made before.
Right.
So I'll be grandfathered in, but that would make me change my planning on it, definitely, if I'm going to rent a car. Maybe that's ultimately what they want. They want less people renting cars because then they're more likely to stay on property the whole time.
Exactly. Disney's all about behavior, as you know.
That's true.
And, you know, they're paying people hundreds of thousands of dollars to do market research. And they didn't just fly by night come up with this and say, oh, well, this is a money grab. We can make more money. I mean, Michael Eisner was the one who wanted to have resorts and keep everybody staying on property. And then they brought up Magical Express and this and that. And they don't want people like you going off to iDrive because you can get a steak for $30 instead of spending $60 at Le Cellier.
Right, that's right. I don't know. I mean, now that I have the girls, staying in a hotel room kind of sucks. Especially when they're little and mm-hmm. they don't sleep good throughout mm-hmm. the night, and now we're all in one room. Once they fall asleep, they go to bed early, can't watch TV, can't really do anything once it's their bedtime. So now, like, these off-property condos that you can rent or these rental houses,
exactly.
they look so intriguing to
me. I'm telling you, you know, once you take the Mickey Mouse ears off and you look at what you can possibly get, you know, some of these places have swimming pools and hot tubs, built-in lanais.
Right, and that's the thing. And you look at some of these. I was looking at some online not too long ago. They deck them out. The people that own them, they're themed.
They're themed as Disney. They have, I've like seen Disney the bedrooms, and they have sheets and the pillows, and the bedrooms are all Disney-themed for the kids.
And it's a fraction of the cost for the square footage that you get.
Oh, and you're looking at, like, the average night is, like, $109, and you're like, Christ, I'm going to get a three-bedroom, and that's what I would pay at Pop. And you're looking at you and Sarah and the two girls, and you would just pack like sardines in a...
Oh, that's right.
You know, 300 and some odd square foot bedroom.
Exactly. And it's different when it's like, you know, when it was just Sarah and I, it's the room. The room's mm-hmm. the room. You do what you gotta do. Even when I went down with my parents, you know, it's not like we spent a lot of time in the room. And staying on property was a value to us because we don't have to rent a car. We just take the Magical Express. We're not going anywhere, but... With a young family, this definitely changes the way I look at how I'm going to go. It's mm-hmm. not going to stop me from going to Disney, but it might stop me from staying at a Disney hotel.
See, and that's the thing. Like, you know, I look at Kristen and I, and yeah, it would be fun, you know, to do a weekend at the Grand Floridian, do that once every few years, or the Poly, and, you know, take in the dinner show and hit the restaurants and this and that. But if you're a family of four, and, you know, you have a budget of, you know, $3,000, you say... Well, do I want to stay at Pop and not eat, or do I want to get a condo and, you know, maybe eat at some decent restaurants and then also cook in and save a few bucks? You know, I mean, nobody has an unlimited budget.
No, that's true. And I'm still such a Disney rube that even if I stayed off property, I'd probably still have all my meals on property.
You still want to,
You know, maybe not breakfast, have breakfast at the house or whatever, but you know how I am with breakfast. A couple times out is good, but...
Yeah, exactly.
But like you said, there are some real major selling points to having your own pool if you're staying at a rental house and having
especially
a pool
when you have
LNI.
To come back when you have to come back and get the kids, you know, a couple hours naps. You know, you can come back and take a nap and cook some lunch and you know, your wife can grab a nap and you could go hit the hot tub or go to the pool for an hour or two and you guys are all refreshed and ready to do something at night.
That's right. I don't know, it just changes the way you think about it. And if they raised their hotel rates by 5 or 10% across the board, I don't think we'd be having this discussion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they just said, like, they raised ticket prices, then I don't bat an eye. You know, prices go up. I expect hotel rates to go up, but I don't think... You think, or correct me if I'm wrong, but you think they're going to keep their rates stagnant and use this as, like, the...
I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. I mean... You know, I remember taking economics classes, and, you know, they had these curves, and it was where you can price things at, between
supply and demand
and all, all those things. So I have no idea what the breakpoint is.
I don't know if there is one.
Or even if there is one.
There has to be, but at some point, they're making so much per guest that, you know, if they lose some people off property, they're probably going to make more money on the people. They're definitely going to make more money. Maybe they don't want someone like me staying on property. I don't know. They want people that just go in with the open wallet, and whatever it takes to stay, they pay it.
You know, because I'll tell you, the one thing that I don't like about this is that I don't like additional fees. Just tell me it's going to cost me $135 to stay at Pop from now on, and I'm fine with that.
I kind of feel the same way. It just feels like...
Like I feel like I'm getting screwed
rate,
now.
Like nickel and diamond. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially like when it's something that they never did.
Right. Yeah, and this just opens the door for them to do the resort fee, too.
Mm-hmm.
You'll wait and see in a year or two. That's coming.
That's definitely coming.
They wouldn't do it all at once, but, you know, it's going to happen. So, yeah, maybe they'll keep rack rates the same, but then all of a sudden there's an $18 per night resort fee, and then mm-hmm. you're paying $13 to park, and then, you know, taxes are what they are. They're going to be there no matter what. And then all of a sudden you go from $109 to $149 for Pop Century. You know, $150. If you put that into a off-property condo or rental house, you're going to get some good value for your money there.
Now, my other question is, because they know everything about you.
Yep.
I mean, they track you better than the CIA tracks terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
What do they know about people who drive?
They don't know anything once they get in their car.
No, but I'm saying, what do they know about where people are from? Are the people who mainly park there? Who are these people?
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
you know, what are their demographic? Who are they? Natives? Are they from Atlanta and North Carolina?
Probably mostly driving distance people.
Right.
I would think anyone within a 12-hour drive is probably more likely to have a car. People with young kids more likely to have a car, just so they have that flexibility of getting back to the resort quicker for naps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true, but I would imagine probably more affluent people are just going to rent a car just because it's easier than getting on the waiting for the Magical Express. But I don't know. Do more people have cars at the Grand Floridian than at All-Star Music? Do more people take advantage of the Magical Express percentage-wise at the values than the moderates and the deluxes? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that, but I would say probably so.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to say, but I think the people in the deluxes a lot of times are more the people that are like the huge Disney nerds that want to be in the bubble, and they probably would rather be in the Magical Express and not have to worry about renting a car.
Because
you know?
I don't think the people who stay at the deluxes are necessarily 100% rich people. I think you have a lot of people who say, I'm going to save, or, you know, we go to Disney every 2 or 3 years. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to work a part-time job for 6 months, and I'm going to put every dollar that I make from that part-time job, and we're going to stay at a Contemporary or Grand Floridian or a beach club. So I don't think those people are necessarily rich.
No, I don't think so either. But those are also the people, if they're big Disney fans, they probably would rather be on the Magical Express and not have to worry about mm-hmm. renting a car and going. They're not going to go off property anyway, so they're just going to take the Magical. Like, I don't know where that line is, and we'll never know. They're not going to release that information. Right. So, I know what you're saying. There's a lot of people who would rather spend $10,000 on their vacation once every 3 years than $3,000 every year.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who do the opposite. They'd rather go down for as cheap as they can, as often as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the people, like you're saying, that just scrimp and save, and they really go all out for it. And both ways are great. You know, can't knock either way to do it. I just feel like it's a little bit nickel and dime. There were a couple conspiracy theories, which I always like to hear. Would you like to hear these conspiracy theories
about this parking just fee? I got a couple points, but
sure.
One of the other things, too, is I think, you know, 15, 20 years ago, Disney was all there was in Central Florida.
That's right.
You know, you had iDrive, you had SeaWorld, you had a couple other things, but now you have, you know, especially the Euros, they're coming over and they're doing, you know, Disney, and they're also doing
Universal,
NASA, and they're making a 2-week trip. You know, before Disney was the only play in town, and now a lot of people are saying, "Hey, Disney's not the only cat around. There's a lot of other things we can do. We can also go play some great golf courses, and we can go to both coasts within 45 minutes and hit some nice beaches."
That's right.
So Disney used to pretty much have, they could just grasp everything they wanted. I mean,
and
I don't want to say it was a monopoly.
Like it was a
but,
better value, too.
Right.
Like, it seems like they didn't nickel and dime you as much mm-hmm. as they do now. But I don't know. It's one of those things. What other point did you have before I get into the conspiracy theory?
Well, I also think, it's terrible that they're gonna charge people stay at deluxes. Now, that's where I think that the people are getting screwed. If you want to, you know, spend, you know, or just charge $10, $15 across the board, no matter what resort you stay at, so be it.
I agree 100%.
But now when you're going after people who stay at deluxes for a couple more dollars, that to me is ignorant.
Yeah.
That's like we're all going to the Capitol Grill, and people are sitting there saying, let me see your W-2s before I give you your bill.
That's right, yeah. I'll charge you an extra $8 for the steak because you can afford it.
Yeah, because you have a few more bucks. I mean, that to me is just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not... I definitely don't agree with that. I mean, it's one thing to introduce the fees, but then to charge more based on where mm-hmm. you're staying...
Yeah, the tiered pricing is just a joke.
I mean, it's basically kind of like a big middle finger to mm-hmm. those people. It's like, we already got you over a barrel paying way more than this room is worth. And you know it. You know it going in. You're not getting your money's worth for the room itself.
No, you can't justify $500 for a 450-square-foot room at the Grand Floridian. There's right. no way you can ever say that that's worth it.
You're paying for the experience. You're paying for the proximity to
for the
Magic
view,
Kingdom,
for the restaurant.
Like
sure,
that.
Absolutely, absolutely,
and that's fine. And you get some value out of that. I don't think it would ever be worth that much, no matter what, because you could still use those amenities wherever you stay,
right?
Even if you don't stay on property, and besides the pools, but there's ways around that. I've heard. I don't know who said that, but
no, I heard the same thing. It was on a different podcast. So.
Yeah, definitely a different one. But yeah, to charge more just because it's a deluxe for that, I mean, a parking space is a parking space. They should have the proper amount of spaces that they need, no matter what size the hotel is or how much they charge for the room.
Right.
And again, it's not going to deter someone, because at that point, you're already committed to paying that much. It's just an extra upcharge that mm-hmm. seems unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if they charge more for parking.
Yeah.
Like, oh, where are you staying
today? Yeah, where are you staying today? Let me scan your Magic Band.
Yeah. I mean, they already give you the free parking if you stay on site. And now, you know, now they're charging you to park your car at the hotel. I'd almost rather they did the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get free parking at the parks to force you onto their transportation.
Which is fine if they want to free up the parking spots.
Like, that would make more sense if they said, okay, here's the deal. Annual pass holders still get the free parking, but if you're just a regular guest and you're staying on property, no more free parking at the
parks. And maybe not hit them the normal fee, but maybe like a $15 fee. So, like, you actually have to think, well, we're gonna go to Epcot, and then we're going to go to Universal, we're going to go to IGI for dinner.
Right.
Do I want to pay $15 for the convenience of being able to get in my car and head out to dinner or wherever else I was going instead of having to take the bus back to the resort and get in my car? I mean, if you want to, you know, charge a little fee for people who drive who are staying at the resorts, I can understand that.
Yeah, but even if you charge full rate, at mm-hmm. least it's a choice at that point,
right?
Because there's other options. You know, if you have your car, you drive up. You find a good rate at Port Orleans. You stay for a couple nights. You have the car park for free
right,
at Port
right.
Orleans, and they say it's $22 to park at Epcot. You're probably going to take the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, like you said, you wanted to go to three parks in one day, so you just wanted to drive to each one. And then you say, okay, it's worth the $22 to park for this day, because you don't pay it at each park. You pay it per day. I don't know. That would have been a good way to do it. I think it would have caused less of a stir. People are not happy about this.
No, I know.
It'll blow over, though. I mean, it always does.
It always
does.
It's not going to
prevent people from going. It's just, I mean, if I were a rental car company at MCO right now, I'd be pretty mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bet it's going to cut into their sales a little bit, at least. Even if it's 3%, think about how
right.
much that is, you know, over a course of a year at that kind of place.
Exactly.
Even if it's 1%, that's a lot of money for those rental car companies. So the conspiracy theories
that
I heard...
Yeah, let me hear about this. I haven't even looked into this.
So the two that I've heard that actually make the most sense to me are that if they raise the rack rates, they pay a higher tax on that money than they do on charging a parking fee. So essentially,
mm-hmm. okay, that's probably that makes a lot of sense. I don't even know if that's a conspiracy theory. I think that's just accounting.
A theory, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's just accounting.
So that's one thing, and then the other theory is that all these Disney travel agents get a percentage of room rates, but they don't get anything else. So if they up the rack rates instead of charging the parking. This is a way for them to get a little extra money out of people without having to pay the travel agents that extra money. Which, whatever that is, 10-15% of a $10 or $20 fee. That one's more of a conspiracy. But those were the two things that I heard that at least make you think. The first one makes more sense than the second one.
Well, the thing about the travel agency agent is who really uses them. I mean, I think they're a great value because it doesn't cost you any money.
I think more people use them than you think because so many people do it.
But I don't think it's a billion-dollar industry. I don't think paying commissions to these people make Disney blink.
No, that's probably true.
And the other thing, too, is in Disney knows damn well, a lot of people who are travel agents also, they're on podcasts or they're being picked up as advertisers on podcasts. And right. The podcast is driving so much Disney business that to pay a couple bucks here and there is... You know, they're making it up.
Yeah, that's true.
So, neither one of those. Those were the only two, because neither one of those I'm buying.
Well, they're not super crazy. Well, the first one you kind of bought into. That makes sense. If you get charged a 20-something percent tax on your room rates, and you get charged a 5% tax on parking fees, well, why are you going to raise room rates when you could add extra fees?
Yeah, but I just think that's simple accounting. I don't know about a conspiracy.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's not necessarily.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that's definitely true if that's a fact.
Yeah. And I don't know that to be true. I don't know the tax codes in Central Florida hotel industry, so
Mr. Cazzetti is a CPA.
Is he?
Not him, but his father.
Oh, okay. Well, give him a jingle.
Maybe we can have him on a future episode.
Yeah, we'll talk about taxes.
The implications of this whole deal. That would be fascinating. I'd enjoy it, but I don't think our listeners would like it.
Yeah, I don't think I would enjoy it too much. No offense to Mr. Cazzetti.
Hello there, Derek.
Cha's cover for you, huh? For March Madness.
Cha's such a good man.
Just as long as it's not Sunday.
You know, he does not. I do not cover on Sunday. That is my church day, and I play with my church friends.
How many rounds you think he gets in
a year? You know, it's so funny because he plays all. Well, his wife is up in Minneapolis again with the grandbaby.
Yeah, you said that, a one-way ticket, right?
Gets a one-way ticket, so he plays all the time. So people like, you know, when I work with him, hey, Cha, how you doing? You know, you been playing much? No, I've been working a lot. I don't play. Well, he works 4 days a week, and he plays 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So he plays easily a $150 to $200 rounds a year.
Yeah,
And that's not a lot to him.
I don't think I've played 150 rounds in my life. And I worked at golf courses. Complete 18 hole rounds. Mm-hmm. I probably played less than 100 in my life.
And he loves his pickleball.
What's that? Oh, pickleball? What is that?
That's this game that they play down here in Florida. They're in all these gated communities. It's kind of like tennis, but they're on smaller courts.
Oh, so it's like racquetball
or something.
Oh, so you golf and pickleball, huh?
Pickleball.
Is he in one of those, like, 55 and over communities?
No, it's not an older community, no.
That's where you wanted to go, right?
Oh, I wanted to go to the Villages.
Yeah, where they have, like, 93 golf courses available for you.
Yeah, but, yeah, the Villages, Florida's, do-do-do-do-do-do. But you know what I heard?
What's that?
They have, like, all these old people, and they're, like, all swingers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very disturbing, like, 85-year-olds and stuff. Like, yeah.
You don't want to be on ground zero for that?
No. I don't want to see, like, a bunch of 85-year-olds, like, running naked by my house. I'm fine with that.
Well, I don't think they're going to go streaking. They probably keep it within the...
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, maybe the hot tub late night might not be the place to be, but...
Yeah, like, I'm sitting there in a hot tub, and there's, like, an 85-year-old lady sitting next to me, and she looks over, hello there, gentlemen.
I don't know if she would say that. That would be very coincidental if she said that.
Hello there. How did you do out there?
I heard Big Number 12 gave you a couple nickels, too, huh?
Oh, he did. A couple nickels.
Yeah? Nice guy?
Yeah, he was very nice. I didn't even recognize him, which is funny.
No, do you have, like, a hat on or something?
Yeah, that's the thing. He had a hat on. And, like,
you know... His big bald head is his signature.
Because, like, they were coming in, and I'm like, are you with the Bradshaw group? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, how many more groups are there? Like, there's only one. So I'm like, all right. So then next group comes in. I start cleaning up the clubs and stuff. And I hear, like, the voice. I'm like, oh, that sounds familiar. And I look over, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's Terry Bradshaw.
Is he tall?
Yeah, he's tall.
Like your height, or is he taller than you?
Well, I looked him up. He's 6'3". He was 6'3". He was drafted number one, first round, first overall.
So he's the same height as you, basically.
I'm 6'4". I'm 6'4", yeah. Don't discredit me.
I'm going to protest that height.
Oh, really? You're doing that one of those things?
We might have to get the official tape measure out on the golf trip.
We're going to have to bring in the por favor doctor?
We might have to.
I hired a doctor on staff, too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we're doing so well right now. I mean, that's why I'm redoing my den. And yeah.
You could be like Trump's doctor. He has a press conference telling about his height. And
yeah, his official height is 6'4". Yeah.
We'll do that for you. We'll have the official weigh-in, like in a Vander Holyfield fight. Come out with the towel around your waist, your Jurgen slippers.
Yeah, my Klinsmann slippers. Hello there. Right.
We should probably end this nonsense.
All right, we'll go to our second break.
We went dancing across the USA on that crazy King's Highway.
That Disney is going to bring, and it's paying for parking.
Yes, we did. I think we're both on board saying we're not in total in favor of this.
Yeah, I don't think we're angry about it, but I think we're both, yeah, like you said.
I'm not angry, it just makes me rethink the way I do. Like, this trip in June was going to be like the trial balloon about renting cars.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's expensive. It's not cheap. It's going to cost me 200 and something bucks to rent a car for the week.
Yeah, but you know what? Having that freedom and flexibility is definitely worth it, I think, especially with two
young ones. Yeah, but now it's going to cost me 400 bucks a week to rent a car if I stay on property.
But now you're going to say, do I want Magical Express and stay at a resort, or do I want a rental car with the flexibility and staying somewhere else, which is exactly what you talked about tonight.
But that's like the opposite of what Disney should want.
Right.
They should want me to stay on property no matter what. So if I want to spend the extra 200 bucks to rent a car so I can drive to my dining reservations instead of having to take a bus to Magic Kingdom, then take a boat over to Wilderness Lodge.
And you know what's crazy? That you and I are just so in sync, because I was thinking the same thing. I said, is this going to prohibit people from driving to places? Because, like, yeah, if you're staying at Pop, you might not... not necessarily like the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian, because they're on the resort loop, but...
I like that. You know, we should call it the Resort.
The Resort.
This episode of the Resort podcast.
Phil Rizzuto all of a sudden came to my head. I have no idea why it came to my head. The Resort.
This episode of the Resort.com podcast is brought to you by Joffrey's Coffee and Tea.
But when you have a car now, you can think about going to different places.
That's right. Like Animal Kingdom, I love the restaurants there, but it's such a pain in the neck to get to that hotel if you're not staying there. And if you have a car, then you just drive there.
Right, exactly.
But now if you don't rent a car because you don't want to pay the parking fee, now you might not make that reservation, so you eat at the quick serve instead of going to Sanaa. You know, what's better for Disney, that $13 parking fee or me spending, you know, $55 a head for that dinner?
Right.
I don't know. I think this is maybe penny-wise, pound foolish for Disney.
Now, I wonder if this is, like, just a test balloon, a trial balloon.
See the reaction, and then they can
take it
away.
Yeah, because I just don't see how this is going to stick.
This is the most negative reaction I remember them getting in a while. Like, as far as a policy. Like, people weren't happy when they closed Maelstrom. You know, great movie ride, things like that. Mm-hmm. But people get over that stuff pretty quick. Something like this is pretty negative reaction and pretty universally negative. Not many people are like, oh, I like this. I understand why they're doing it. Because it's not going to prevent the weasels either. That's the thing that drives me nuts. If they're trying to do this to prevent the local weasels from saying that they have a reservation at Citrico so they can park at the Grand Floridian and take the monorail to Magic Kingdom, that doesn't stop it because they're not charging day guests. So you could say you want to go have a drink at Meisner's and park your car at the Grand Floridian and hop on the monorail and go to Magic Kingdom instead of paying or parking at the TTC.
Mm-hmm.
So this doesn't prevent any of that from happening. So I don't understand why, I don't know, it just seems like they're going about it the wrong way. If there's really a parking issue and they don't have enough spots, I think the day guests would be the way to prevent it. Give a two-hour pass.
I'll tell you what, there is not an issue because we went up for Christmas and we parked no problem at the Grand Floridian, and we parked. I mean, Polly has a little smaller
parking lot.
Yeah, we've had some not issues, but Grand Floridian, you never have a problem with a parking spot, and the Epcot resorts are you can always find a spot.
Now, see, I heard like Boardwalk and Beach Club get pretty dicey sometimes.
Okay, because I only park at Beach Club, and I've never had a problem there.
Okay.
Same thing with the Contemporary. Contemporary, I don't care if they have a convention, and that's maybe why it's so big, but I never have a problem at the Contemporary.
Yeah. I've seen so many... I've stayed at the Values more than anything, and like 80% of their spots are open all the time.
Mm-hmm. All the time,
like,
yeah.
Like, there's not... They couldn't fill them.
Whenever I go to the All Stars or a pop with your family, like if I drive back from Epcot, I mean it's just you roll through the gate and just pick your spot.
Yeah, you could park like 8 feet from the door, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just strange to me. It's a head scratcher why they're doing it, but I guess we'll wait and see what the reaction is if they go back on it. I don't know that they will.
It was interesting. I didn't think we were going to really talk much about this.
No, we ended up doing a whole episode. Yeah. Well, you want to bring us home?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Por Favor Podcast. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found. Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and what's the other one?
Google Play.
Yep. You can find us on...
YouTube?
You do the YouTube thing, Jürgen.
Oh, that's right. Where else can they find us? PorFavorPodcast.com, Facebook, Twitter, did you say all that?
I think so.
Okay, beautiful. Oh, where can they email you, Billy?
You can email the show info@PorFavorPodcast. You can email me, Mike@PorFavorPodcast.
You can email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com, and check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/PorFavorPodcast. I think that's it, Bill.
I think we already mentioned everything. YouTube.
Yeah, maybe once or twice.
Yeah, once or twice, whatever. I'm confused. We already did a Facebook Live, so...
Yeah, we're
I have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks for listening to episode 211 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro Nilis podcast. From Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island, I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.